Let's take our Bibles at this time and turn to Isaiah chapter 40. We continue our mini series here on Isaiah 40. And drawing from this wonderful Word of God, salient points of doctrine and for our living in application of the truth to our lives, and may the Spirit bless our reading and also the preaching and hearing of the Word of God. Isaiah 40, let's read the first 11 verses. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry, and he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Thus far the prophecy of Isaiah, God's word to us today. The passage on which I'd have us meditate for a few moments this morning is verses 6 through 8 of Isaiah 40. The voice said, Cry, and he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. As you recall, people of God, the mandate of Isaiah and of all the prophets of the Old Testament at his day, and also the mandate of any biblical preacher worthy of the name, is to comfort the people of God. There's one message that is entrusted to the office of the minister of the Word of God. One outstanding feature of that ministry itself is that it be a ministry of comfort and a message of comfort to the people of God. Here, what Isaiah was commissioned to preach, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Isaiah has done this. He has brought the message of the gospel that the warfare of the people is accomplished, the iniquity of the people is pardoned, and she has received double from the Lord for all of her sins. There has been an amazing exchange, Isaiah prophesies, in the condition and state of the people of God. They were guilty. They were laden with iniquity. Now God has blessed them, exonerated them, and granted them the righteousness of the gospel and of the Son of God himself. That's the message of Isaiah. That was to be the message of Isaiah and all the prophets. That's the message of the minister of the Word of God in the church today. Now, our text on which we dwell a few moments, and also in anticipation of our partaking of the sacrament of the supper, is a confirmation of the comfort that the people of God were to receive. people of God had been announced and would be announced, or they would be told of this comfort. They would be told of the pardon of iniquity. They would be informed and declared with regard to their sin that it was pardoned. But they have to be sure. They have to be sure because of this reality. Their flesh, they pass away. And the Spirit of the Lord is blowing upon the land. They seem to be under presently the wrath of God. They had to be assured that God's word that He spoke is sure. And we need that today. And the word of God here, that what's the confirmation is this. Though everything fail, everything in our life fail and be fickle and be no more one day, the word of God never fails. He's never fickle, never passes away. The word that God says in Jesus Christ is sure. The word of forgiveness is sure. The pardon is real. And that's what we hear today. We hear this by faith. We can be sure. For that word of God then has found its way into our hearts and worked faith. So may God confirm us in the message of the gospel. That's what we're going to hear this morning. The sacrament as well is for the confirmation of our faith. Look at what God has given us. The word of God read, the word of God preached, the sacrament to confirm all the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. So let's consider the word of God. Well, here's the title of my sermon, Flesh That Fails, the Word That Abides, and the Summer of 2012. Isaiah is called by a voice to cry out with regard to a reality that flesh is grass, grass withers, and that's the case of all humanity. We're all like flesh, we all wither, we all pass away. Now, you're looking at me now, and I, who am getting to know you, know that you know this. And in a way, I know this too. Yes, we're just here for a moment. All flesh fails and passes away. We acknowledge that. There have been funerals lately. We've laid loved ones into the grave. And we've had to deal with this. And in excruciating times in our life too. We know this. But God says we need to know this in a gospel sort of way. Notice here, there's a voice. And nobody knows, and all the commentators and all the king's men don't seem to know what this voice is, what it's about. It's a mystery voice. And certainly, it's a voice from heaven, a united word from heaven. This voice that comes out of nowhere, apparently, to Isaiah and says, cry, cry. And then Isaiah responds, what shall I cry? And then Isaiah is told, cry this first of all. So the people get it. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. You see, we don't like to admit this, even though we know. We've just been there to the grave. The memory of our laying loved ones to rest is there. We know because all around us, there's all this death and this dying, this passing away. There's something, though, that we need to know for sure and be convicted of. It's true. We die. We're not immortal. We're those who are just flesh. See that? It's very humbling what Isaiah is called to bring to the people and what I'm called to bring to you, this message that you're just grass. I'm looking at you. You're just blades of grass. Some of you are brown. Some of you are still kind of green, but in various stages of withering. Not very flattering, is it? And I have to say that to myself. But it's true. And the voice from heaven is here to remind us of this reality, that we are just those who pass away. And that's the reality. It's not to say that we're green or brown. That's not the point of the text to compare us to grass. The point of the text is to say, just like grass fails, so will you. Grass and flowers, they are frail. When the winds come, blows the flowers off the plant, they are no more. When the blithering heat of summer 2012 strikes the grass, no amount of irrigation, it seems, can cause these blades of grass to revive. We have to wait for God to water the earth. Life is short, something from without, and it seems something from within kills us all. And the flesh here, we are compared to the grass. That's the idea here. All flesh, that's human beings. Human beings. Even the strongest of human beings, even the mightiest of Olympians, the prime of their life, strongest men and women in the world, the most agile kind of creatures, the ones who get the gold, the ones who are fawned over by all sorts of people and who come back and they make millions off the advertisements because of their strength and their endurance and so on. Even these fail. That's the message from heaven, from that voice, from that word of God that comes from heaven and that is heard and to be heard from within. And now in the declaration of the gospel, don't get it in your head, in other words, that you're going to outlast the grass and the flower and the lowliest of creatures whose duration is very short, who are not immortal. That's a sobering reality of our fleeting and tenuous existence. We have to be sobered up to come to that reality. The Bible, however, is this sobering book, this one that brings us back to the truth of God. Isaiah 51, for example, he goes on in verse 51 and verse 12. He says this, "I, even I, am he that comforteth you, who art thou, that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man, which shall be made as grass." Isaiah 51, verse 12, reminds us again that we're just grass and shall be made as grass. The sons of men and all who are born that way are just grass. The psalmist in Psalm 90 also reminds the people in verses 5 and 6, "Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it's cut down and withereth." And that's the way it is. And notice how the prophet here reminds us that this is a certainty. It's true. In fact, it's an is. It's not something that we shall happen to us. All flesh shall be grass, but you are grass. You're born that way. All in Adam die. And all in Adam die, despite man's being a higher creature, despite all of his efforts, and they truly die. Now, some people like to deny this death by saying what happens after we stop breathing is what we just disappear. I went to a university that taught that. You just disappear. What you see is what you get. What you measure is what you can, what is worth talking about. But the Bible calls our passing away death. Death. Not just passing out of existence, but death, which is something different than passing out of existence. Something different altogether, as we'll see presently. And it's not the case either, which is taught often, that we come back. Don't think there's a second chance. It's appointed unto all men to die. And that's the end of this present existence. There's another existence called death existence after you die in the flesh. And now, why? Why is that? And why can I come to that conclusion? Because, well, look at the reason for this death. Isaiah 40. The grass withers, verse 7, the flower fades. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. the Spirit of the Lord. You know what that means? Death is a sentence from God, a judgment. Death is judgment, in fact, due to sin. And the text is referring here, you see, to the state of man as flesh fallen in rebellion against God. And so the prophet is reminding the people not only of the duration, the short duration of their existence, but of the wrath of God, which is real upon all flesh, upon the whole human race, as it's born in Adam, as it is in Adam. As this nature is passed on from child to child, family to family, even church-going member to church-going member, there is this death that exists. And we need to know this. The voice says to Isaiah, if you're going to comfort the people of God, first they have to be discomforted. They have to be set off their pedestal and of their imagining that they don't really need this comfort because they're sinful. You have to know that. We have to know that today. We who are slow learners. The Spirit of the Lord blows upon us as we are members of this fallen human race. Isn't it amazing? In 2012, when the grass is withered by the drought, people don't think twice of it as regard spiritual things. They just water more. Wait for rain, move somewhere else. And they don't have the foggiest notion that God would teach even through creation these sobering things. But we must. And we must not, therefore, as we look at the Olympics and as we do other things that glory in men, imagine that this is anything that's mitigated or lessened because of the glories of men. The Spirit of the Lord is withering this race. And one of the ways you know that God will execute His judgments on the earth is by giving sinners themselves over to their own sins and their sins even of killing off themselves. I was reminded the other day that since Roe v. Wade, the legalization of abortion in the United States, there's been over 53 million unborns killed at the knife of men. Surely the Spirit of the Lord is blowing upon the race so that with the weapons of mass destruction, which are human hands themselves, we're killing ourselves off. But this is a judgment of God. And then the genocides and all the wars and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of people killed. And God Himself visiting His judgments upon the race for their shaking their fist at Him. And that is sobering because we ourselves, that's our nature, isn't it? That's our nature. And we deserve that the Spirit of the Lord blow upon us and blow us away. No. And even though we be children of God, we say we are, and there is a beginning of life. Nevertheless, there's this tension between what we are in Christ and what we are by nature. The church, in fact, seems to lead the way in bearing the blight of God, the Spirit of the Lord, blowing upon the churches in the land, giving them a spirit of lying, so that ministers don't care to preach sin anymore. Don't do that. You're going to scare the people away. Don't do that. Don't be a Nathan. That was Old Testament. He was kind of rough on David. Don't do that, preacher. Preach about sin. It's so negative. Look at that. We're almost at the half hour. All you dwelt upon is sin. That's it. Don't be so faithful to a creed even, like the Heidelberg Catechism that starts out so negatively. Yeah, comfort my people then, or say 2 and 3 and 4. discomfort them and remind them of the wrath of God upon this human race and of the fact that there's no way out except through the mediator, Jesus Christ. You can't. You can't pick yourself up again. And there's this message going forth, flattering people in churches of their own self-worth, of their own goodness, naturally. We want that? We don't. Notice Isaiah here. He misses no words. He humiliates all flesh and he says, here's what you are. You are just like grass and you are just like the flowers. Oh yes, there's an outward goodness among some of you. Some of you are flowers, just not the green blades of grass. But you're all going to wither under the blast of God. That's all you be. Well, thanks be to God. And this is what we quickly would end with. The Word of God abides. Note that? That's what Isaiah concludes at the end of verse 8. The Word of God, our God, shall stand forever. You see, it's the Word. The Word in contrast to the flesh. The flesh is only of short duration. The Word of God abides. And the flesh dies, the Word of God gives life. That's the comparison, the contrast. Now, what's the Word of God? It's the truth. What's the truth? Everything that God says. The voice from heaven. The voice through Isaiah the prophet. The voice through Jeremiah. The voice through Paul. The voice of all the ministers of the Word who are faithful to this Word of God. Everything God says about Himself, about man, about sin, about grace, about heaven, about hell, and especially though that salvation word is meant here. The word that Isaiah had been called to bring, and all the prophets have been called to bring, about the warfare of Jerusalem being accomplished, the iniquity of Jerusalem being pardoned, and this wonderful double blessing for all her sins. That's the word. Isaiah is called to bring the word of the coming of the Lord, to visit the people of God and to save them. The word that nothing gets in the way of the coming of the Lord. The valleys shall be exalted and the mountains shall be made low and the crooked places shall be made straight so that everything must be gotten out of the way and the sovereign God is coming, you see. And the hearts of proud men will be melted and the perversities of men will not get in the way of the grace of God. So, the warfare shall be accomplished and the sin shall be pardoned. That's sure. That's what the text leaves us with. That's the confirmation of the word of comfort. It's the word of God itself. There's something you see in the communication of God. Heaven and earth may pass away, but not the word, because that word is divine. And that's what we have to get here. What we're doing here in this church, I would remind us all, is preaching God and His Word. Not man and His Word. God and His Word. We're declaring here high theology. We're grounding everything we would say here and teach here in the whole counsel of God here. In the truth of God Himself. Note verse 9, Isaiah the prophet is called to say, behold your God. Tell the cities of Jerusalem, behold your God. That's what we're about here. That's what the supper's all about. This God who is unchangeable. This God whose word is true because He is true to Himself. This God whose counsel is sure, whose election stands, whose blood, the blood of His Son, shall cleanse sinners and everyone for whom He died. That's the Word of God. And the love of God, the Word of God's love, that abides, never shall be taken away. Central to this word is, of course, Jesus Christ, the Word incarnate. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the Word. That's what Isaiah is called to bring here. Comfort the people of God about iniquity being pardoned. warfare being accomplished. Comfort them today, Pastor Dick, and all of those who bring the Word of God, and parents, and everyone who is a witness of God. Comfort among yourselves everyone with the Word Jesus Christ. Turn people away from all that passes away. That's all a part of the death, part of the problem. And turn them unto the Savior. Preach the cross. Hear the Word. Want to hear it. Just that. Jesus Christ, who does everything for us and everything in us, He abides forever. And about that last, Peter himself would affirm the people of God in their hope by quoting from Isaiah, 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. We're born again, he says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, he says, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. See how Peter doesn't manipulate the text as so many do, but he brings out the meaning of the text of Isaiah. He says, and this is my last point here, he says, preachers, those preached to, remember the abiding word of God in the gospel. There's death, and all flesh withers, it's like grass. But there's a people for whom Jesus has come, and now He's made this grass His harvest. And now He's made you redeemed grass. Flesh that is now of the Spirit, who blows us not away, but who gives us life and joy, and who plants us firmly in the most unlikely of places, a rock. And we grow on the rock. And that's our soil, the Word of God. And lovely? Lots of things changing in our lives, aren't there? Some things dismally the same. We'd like them to change. Just focus on the Word. That's the burden of the prophet here. He's called to tell the people of God, like it is. People of God. He's called to tell them, all flesh is as grass. I know that. And maybe that's the objection that is being foreseen here. The people are told of their comfort. The prophet reminded them, we know. You're just passing away. And you have doubts. You have doubts when you go to a grave. You have doubts when your life is up in the air, as it were. Isaiah would do away with the doubts. And God has given the preaching to do away with the doubts. The lack of assurance, and which would bring upon us the fullness of joy, the fullness of life with God, and erase the doubts, and confirm us by suppers, and build us by preaching, and build us in the communion of the saints with one another in that which abides. All people of God, hear the word of God. There's a voice that's crying from heaven. As a voice of the Son of God, the Word incarnate, who came into our existence and who commended love, the love of God for us, and who Himself became grass, and who Himself was exposed to the Spirit of God, blowing Him away to hell, that we might never be blown away to hell. Don't you see that? That's Christ crucified. The blood dripping from Calvary's tree for you and for me, sinner. Trust in that. Cry, the prophet is told. Cry to the people of God. People of God, hear the word of God. Don't hear the other voices inside you with your whispering doubts, or outside of you that are saying, now seek the glories of men. Don't do that. Seek the glory of God. Young people, believe. And trust that God will bless you no matter what He's calling you to. Do the next best thing for Him. And your best thing is His glory. Your only thing. That's why you live. If you live, trust in Him. turn away from all that fails. And may the Lord bless us together. As we part ways presently, beloved, as my wife and family and I go on vacation, I wanted to preach to you as if this were a last sermon. As if this was the last word you hear from me, the Word of God abides forever. Remember that. Live and rejoice. Amen.